This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. The Trump administration has issued new guidance to states that lets them compel people to work or prepare to work in order to receive Medicaid. This is a big move. For the first time, this so-called means test would let states cut off Medicaid benefits to recipients unless they have a job, or they're in school, or they are a caregiver, or they take part in an approved form of community engagement. And we'll define that term a little better later on. Seema Verma is the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, part of the federal government. Ms. Verma said the move was, quote, in response to states that asked us for the flexibility they need to improve their programs and to help people in achieving greater well-being and self-sufficiency, unquote. Those states include Utah, Indiana, Maine, Kentucky, and Arizona. Let's discuss it with Phil Gallowitz, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Phil, welcome to 1A.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us more about these guidelines and what they might mean for people who are on Medicaid. First of all, I guess we should clarify, these are guidelines that give states the leeway to do this. This is not a national required change in policy, right?
That's correct. About 10 states have asked the Trump administration for permission to start these work requirements in Medicaid, which has never been allowed before. And now CMS has issued sort of guidelines that tell states what they can do. One, who should be exempt from these things? They gave that seniors and children, people who are medically frail. The Trump administration is telling states that these people should be exempt, that they shouldn't have to meet these requirements. They're also telling states that one way they can enact this new requirement is to just to follow similar work requirements that are in existence today for food stamps or for welfare. And if they follow that, then that will be okay with the Trump administration. The Trump administration also let states know what can count as work. They offered suggestions. As you said, this can be not just having a full-time job, but it could mean job training. It could mean going to school. It could mean caregiving for a young child or an elderly parent.
I think it could also include, I'm looking at the letter from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services now, I think it could also include volunteering. I mean, it's any number of things that gets you active in the community.
Correct. Volunteering is another one that can meet. States will have a lot of flexibility, and these are suggestions to states. So states don't necessarily have to adopt all these things. If they don't adopt these things, they'll have to explain it to the Trump administration about why they left some things off. But yes, volunteering will count, and it's going to be up to states to sort of set the rules on where you can volunteer, how many hours you got to put forth, and also up to states. I think an important part is to police this. Is this just going to be an honor system that people will have to do? One thing the Trump administration noted was that some people may need a doctor's note to prove that they're too sick to work. So that was one thing in the guidance that we hadn't heard before.
We're speaking to Phil Gallowitz of Kaiser Health News about the changing guidelines issued by the Trump administration that will allow states to change the conditions, a kind of a means test for receiving Medicaid benefits. We're only discussing this for this first segment of the program. So if you have questions or thoughts or stories about how this might affect you, if you or a loved one are on Medicaid, what's your read on these new rules? What would this mean for you? Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. By the way, the 10 states who filed applications to add these work requirements are Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Utah, and Wisconsin. Phil Gallowitz, where did this change come from? What brought this about?
Sure. This had been an item that came up in some respects in response to the Affordable Care Act, which brought one of the biggest expansions of Medicaid that we've ever seen. This enabled millions of non-disabled adults to join the program. About 31 states across the country expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. They got federal financing to do it. And this brought in sort of a newer population that hadn't been generally covered by Medicaid, sort of adults, many adults who didn't have children. And a lot of states said, well, if we're going to cover this new population, as opposed to pregnant women, kids, the disabled, that these people who are getting coverage should have to work for it, that if we're going to give them health care coverage, that they should have to go out and do something to meet that coverage. They're not disabled. They're not children. That they should have to go out and work to get this health care coverage or do something that counts as work. And this in polls, this has proven very popular. A lot of people, not just Republicans, like the idea of, hey, if we're going to give you medical assistance, federal and state funding to help afford health insurance, that you should work or do some community service in response. And a number of states over the last couple of years, even during the Obama administration, had made the request that they'd like to add this to Medicaid. Now, under President Obama, the Medicaid program said they can't do this. This is not the goal of Medicaid. The goal of Medicaid is not tied into work requirements. You can volunteer, you can help people get job training, but Medicaid should not have a requirement that you have to work to get the coverage. So the Obama administration did not allow it, but now we have a new administration. The Trump administration has been here a year, and they're taking a different tack. And they say this is allowed, and states should be able to test this. So the other key point about this is a test. There is this authority that the administration has to test new ways, that to give states flexibility to test new ways of seeing how Medicaid can work. So these tests can go on for several years, and the administration has the ability to enable many states to go test this at the same time. It could be 3, 4, or 5 years until we find out the results. The administrator of Medicaid, the administrator of the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services today, said that one good outcome of this work requirement would be if Medicaid rolls did drop, because that she said that may show that more people are getting coverage either through work or that they're making enough money to buy private insurance.
It seems like several of you are of mixed opinions about this change. Raymond wrote on our Facebook page, "Everyone is for states' rights until it's something they disagree with. With this policy, it's administered by the state and partially funded by them. Why shouldn't they have more say in how it's distributed? The number one cure for poverty is a job." But Sandy wrote on our Facebook page, "I'm in Indiana, where Medicare Medicaid Services Administrator Seema Verma first presented the idea with then-Governor Mike Pence. Most people don't really understand how poor a person has to be to even qualify for Medicaid. Work requirements may cost way more than they will save. The numbers are very tight, and earning just a little more, like working extra over the holiday shopping period, can make a person ineligible. Tracking all the nuances can become very costly for the state, and often the individual has little control of their earnings." Phil, I wonder if that's maybe part of the open questions around this change. I mean, we spoke a few days ago about CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, which covers families that make too much for Medicaid but not enough to afford private insurance. CHIP has yet to be reauthorized. It could fall off the table if Congress doesn't put the money back in. What about people who do end up falling off Medicaid because they do get work? Is there any provision for them to continue to be covered after they don't qualify for Medicaid anymore?
No. I mean, if they fall off this because they haven't proven that they don't work, they could be without health coverage. And that's one of the arguments that a lot of advocacy groups are making, is that, you know, while the administration is saying people should have to work to get this health insurance benefit, advocates say the administration has it totally backwards. People need health care coverage to be healthy enough to get a job. And that's leading us to it's likely this ruling is likely to bring a court case. A lot of advocacy groups say that right after the first state is approved, which could be any day now, that they will take this ruling and go to court to block the administration from enacting this.
Chris in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, says he sees two problems with this policy change. Chris writes, "Many on Medicaid already work, and many on Medicaid also receive temporary assistance for needy families, right. SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, etc. And these also have work as a condition of the benefit or as an activity at state option. How will the states ensure the various work requirements are consistent and not in conflict?"
That's correct. About 40% or so of people on Medicaid already do work, so they're not going to be affected by this. And then of those who aren't working, a fair percentage of them already are going to school. Some are in job training. Many are taking care of an elderly person, or they're too frail. So that gets the point that only a small fraction of people on Medicaid are actually going to be affected by this new policy. Because, again, as you mentioned at the outset, kids are excluded. senior citizens are excluded, people are disabled are excluded. If you have a job, this doesn't affect you. If you're taking care of a loved one, this doesn't affect you. So we started out with about 75 million people on Medicaid. This brings it to a much tiny fraction who's actually going to be affected by this. The concern, of course, is that this new policy in place could sort of have a chilling effect, that people may not sign up for Medicaid because they hear that they have to have a job or meet some new requirements to do it. Or it could add more hurdles that may block people from staying on the program, you know, when they need it.
I believe also pregnant women are excluded from this, right?
Absolutely.
Let me get to a few more of your comments. We're real low on time, but let me squeeze in a few more of your comments. Kathy wrote on our Facebook page, "So healthy, wealthy, mostly white men who will never need financial assistance for basic health care will decide who's able to work? This is discouraging, to say the least, as I don't fit the above category and never will, except I am currently blessed with good health. But at nearly 60, the idea of universal health care seems like a distant dream." Aaron wrote on our website, the1a.org, "I actually don't think the work requirement will be that big of a deal, because it will end up applying to relatively few people who have Medicaid. It will cost money, though, by creating a new bureaucracy and expanding paperwork even more." Phil Galowitz, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, with more details on the new guidelines issued by the Trump administration. Phil, before we let you go, very briefly, what's the next step in this? What should we be looking out for, briefly?
In the next couple of days, you can expect Kentucky is expected to be the first state to be approved. That could come any day. Indiana, home to Seema Verma and Vice President Pence, could follow shortly after that. And then immediately after that, look for a legal fight to begin in court.
Gotcha. Phil Galowitz of Kaiser Health News. Phil, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Still to come, let's talk to NPR's Dina Temple-Raston. She's been working on a fascinating new project called What Were You Thinking? All about the adolescent brain. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.